Hello, this is Courtney with You Only Live Twice. You have just me today, so I'll be laughing at my own jokes. You're welcome for that, because today Scott is actually starting his new role. So I'm actually talking about work in a way with You Only Live Twice and kind of your second chance at work roles and how you can change the paradigm of what work is and making sure that you make the most of your life, at least kind of what my story is and the perspective that I have now in my learning. So him starting a new role just kind of goes hand in hand with this. So I guess starting at the very beginning, my mom and dad always had very good work ethic. So my dad owned his own business. He had his own journey where I kind of realized from him that you have to look out for yourself, that people don't always look out for you. And so he owned his own business, worked very hard. At one point, he was going Monday through Friday, driving from Pennsylvania down to DC and working and coming home only on the weekends just to bust his butt. My mom worked full time as a teacher, took care of us as the kids, because again, for a while, my dad had to work far away. And she also helped him do his business work. So she was kind of like the financial bookkeeper. So she was working nonstop. And from both of them, I just learned that you grow up, you go to college, you get a job, and you work your butt off. You have a family, but work is a very big key component. So kind of changing my mental, capacity around what work is and what it should mean to you and your family has definitely been a work in progress for me. So lots of jobs that I had in my past, and I had one for a while that was one of my favorite jobs ever. I'm not going to say what any of the actual companies are. Some people will just know if you've worked with me, but one of the ones was still one of my favorite jobs ever for a company that's still in the Fortune 100. Loved it, loved the owners, loved everybody there. The culture was amazing. And I really threw myself into work. So I knew that if I worked hard, you know, there was job security. I had lots of fun. I got to speak different places. I got awards. It was all of the things that sound super exciting. It even had pretty good hours for how much I worked. I mean, I still was Monday through Friday, but it wasn't anything super crazy. Like some people say, working 70, 80 hours a week, which I kind of did later on, and we'll get to that. But, had a great company. And the one thing that you'll learn about some great companies is that nobody ever leaves. And that was really the only reason I think that I'm not still with that company, is nobody ever left. So my old boss is still there. His boss is still there. Everyone's still there for the most part, because it really is that great of a company. If I had stayed there, I don't know if I would have snapped out of having as good of a work-life balance. I know that they've done a lot of changes as well, where people have a good work-life balance. But I was just such a workaholic for some reason that I don't know if I would have snapped out of it, which might not have been as good for me. But I feel like somebody there probably would have made me snap out of it. But I essentially went from this place that, you know, taught me how to be in corporate America and how to be a really good person in business and negotiate. And I almost got paid to get an education in how to do things, and absolutely love that organization. But again, worked a lot. So I had two of my kids while I was there, 6 weeks maternity leave. My mindset at that point, at least, was after the 6 weeks, you have to go back immediately because you can't miss work. So that's how much I was in the mindset of you work and your family's there. So moving forward, like I said, nobody ever left there. And I knew that one of the things that I needed to feel fulfilled in life was to continue to grow. And I really liked the scope that I was in within food. So I wasn't necessarily looking, but I eventually went to another company whenever they reached out to me. And I quickly realized a lot of different things in business. So lots of things were promised, and again, not going to say what company, because if you look at my LinkedIn, there are quite a few companies there, but essentially they had promised me that I could have a great work-life balance, could get my kids on and off the bus, family came first always. Lots of great things promised, where I remember I even told my one friend, this sounds like heaven, that it has to be too good to be true. And I don't have that being one of my top 10 things that I've learned that I'll have at the end, because I think there can be some things that are just really that good. This definitely was a too good to be true. So just to give some humorous little snippet. So my first day, I go in 8 o'clock. Which if I knew how to do podcasts better, I could actually delete and go back. But, you know, baby steps, we'll get there eventually. I'm not a podcaster just yet. I'm just pretending to be one because you fake it till you make it. So before I came, it was going to be just my son and I coming initially, because my then husband was going to be finishing up at college. So I said, hey, I'm trying to figure out what am I supposed to do with my kid during the day, or before school, after school. Just need to make sure I know the plans. And they said, what are you talking about? You get your kid on the bus, you get your kid off the bus, you know, family first. And that was one of the, you know, this sounds too good to be true. So I get there, day one, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. And the person that had recruited me said, what do you think you're doing? I was like, I'm here to work. And they're like, and it's 8 o'clock, which I was very thoroughly confused, because to me, that was, I thought, normal. Because nobody had told me otherwise. And I guess in retrospect, I could have asked, but did not know, because I had been told, you get your kid on the bus, you get your kid off the bus. And I was told, yeah, no, you are expected to be here, butt in seat by 7:30 in the morning. And I was like, oh, well, that's good to know. So I'm going to need childcare before school. And they said, well, yeah, and I don't know what you plan on doing afterwards, but I mean, we're here till 5 or 6, so you gotta figure that shit out. And again, it was like day, well, we had orientation, so it was like my first day after orientation. So at that point, I was already a full week in, and I just see red flags going up everywhere, which if you know me, I'm not very good at recognizing red flags. We'll just say that. And I immediately went to my car, called my then husband, and was like, something does not feel right. This is not a good fit for me. Things are already changing. Should have listened to my gut. Many things happened there where, you know, chairs were flying. And no, that is not just a fancy way of trying to say like words are flying. No, I literally saw chairs fly whenever some of the family members and owners got angry. I would have people be in my face spit yelling because they were so mad at me. They didn't think that something was done correctly or quick enough. Oftentimes, and this is going to sound bad, but it was just that they didn't necessarily understand. So I was brought in as a food service expert. And if you know food, and you know there's shelf life, there's going in margin, there's coming out margin, there's just some different nuances and things like that. So I was brought in as the expert. And sometimes whenever I'd be explaining things, I think they thought that I was, you know, mansplaining. I don't know what the version would be if it's a female telling a male that, but they didn't understand, so they would just get angry. So I'd had people spit yelling in my face, yelling at me whenever I had my kids in the car, all kinds of crazy things that happened. But in my mind, I just kept thinking, you're in this role. At that point, I was pretty high up on the executive team, and I just thought, this is what it is whenever you get to this level. You just have to be able to take it. And, you know, you're surrounded by guys, and that's just the way that the world works. And you just need to suck it up. Because, again, I was raised with you work hard. And to me, I thought, maybe I'm just being weak. And that's what my then ex kind of told me, is like, you just need to suck it up. We moved here for this role, so just deal with it. Hence him being the ex. But we'll get to that another time, I'm sure. So I, you know, keep going. It just definitely feels very toxic to me, but I'm thinking it's just a me problem. So fast forward to, I'm there for over 2 years at that point, and my ex goes to, he gets deployed. And so it's just me being in the single mom role with a 2-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 10-year-old. I'm working 5 days a week, technically, from 7:30 till about 6 at night. So I have to drop the kids off before school, go to work, pick them up after school, do all the things all on my own. There's no nannies, there's no help, it's just me. Which, yes, I am very aware that there are so many people that have it 1,001 times harder than me. But it was just a lot. So just trying to say, for me at that point, it was a lot, to the point where sometimes the only time that I had to actually go grocery shopping was while my kids were doing their activities, and I would do like supermarket sweep style, running up and down the aisles of Aldi just to make sure that I could have the groceries that I needed to have at the house, because there was no time to go. And I guess I could have hired a babysitter so I could go shopping at Walmart after the kids went to bed. But I just did the best that I could. So I was going nonstop. Again, there were times that I would have the kids in the car and somebody would call from work. It could be 7, 8 o'clock at night. And I'd say, hey, my kids are in the car. And one of the owners or their family members would be like, I don't give a bleep, and just start reaming me out with my kids in the car, which to me, I couldn't handle. But I just figured I had to keep on going because I was the sole breadwinner for the family. And again, I thought, well, you asked to be on this executive role, and this must just be the way that it is. Again, I know that I'm a smart person. Hindsight's 2020. I very much realize now how dumb that is, but just felt like I didn't really have a choice. So this keeps building up. And eventually I can't handle it anymore. So I essentially did what I would call a career suicide, where I had been in this certain path, working up to this position for years and years and years. And I couldn't take it anymore. My mental sanity was gone. I mean, it probably didn't help that I was also at home with just myself and three kids, all my family now 500 to 1,000 miles away. No time for friends. That also doesn't help so much. But I was like, I can't handle this anymore. I'm working my butt off and I'm still being screamed at like I'm a child. And literally berated for some people just not understanding some of the basics of the job. So I was in the car and I'm driving. And again, this one person who likes to call and swear at me while I'm in my car, I was doing store rides, called and didn't understand why the margin was different than what I had told him. Again, with food service, there's the going in margin, there's the coming out margin. So the one includes waste, the other one does not. So I was trying to explain, no, I said what the going in margin was, that is the coming out margin. Again, just was not clicking that there were two different types of margin, because I guess he had not dealt with that before, and just screaming, swearing at me, all kinds of things that I could not handle anymore. And instead of getting upset and hanging up and crying afterwards, I hung up the phone after being berated for about 5 to 10 minutes straight on how stupid I was. I hung up and I just said, I can't do this anymore. And I called my mom and I told her, I was like, I can't do this. I don't know if his dad actually knows how he is with the other people in the company, but I can't live like this. So I'm going to let him know. And she was very concerned for me. because she had known quite a few stories, and she's like, you know what, if that's what you feel like you need to do, but know that probably nothing is going to change. And so I called my CEO and said, hey, I just had this experience. It's not okay. I'm extremely upset. Again, if this was I don't want to say normal company, but a company that is set up normally, there'd be an HR department, you could file complaints, things like that. That did not necessarily exist here, even though it was a very large corporation. So call the CEO, let them know just from this one experience what had happened, hoping that, you know what, maybe they will see the value in me, talk to him, be like, hey, just take it from like a 10 down to a 7. That's all that I was really looking for or hoping for. Meanwhile, in the back of my head, I knew that I was doing career suicide. So I go into work the next day, and I'm going about my day, and he comes to my office, the CEO, and he's like, hey, I got your message. I just want to let you know. So I left it via message because he wasn't in his office or didn't pick up his phone, and I needed to get it out. Should I have probably talked to him in person? Yes, but at that point, I just couldn't handle it anymore. So he said, I want to make sure we talk today, so before you leave, you know, let's make sure we touch base. And I was like, great. Get this huge pit in the bottom of my stomach, because there's no way that I think he actually wants to discuss it I just have a sense of dread in general. So I'm working throughout the day. Other people that I work with know that I have done this. They are also a little bit worried for me, especially the one person that worked directly with me and had gone through the exact same experiences. And it gets to be around lunchtime or so, and I get a call from school, because that's what happens whenever you have three kids that are in elementary school, or three kids, two that are in elementary. And my middle child was sick and throwing up. So of course I had to leave and go and get her. So I immediately went to his office to try to be like, hey, I have to go. He was not there. So I sent him an email and said, hey, I'm really sorry, but my daughter is sick. I'm the only one here that can go and get her. So, I need to leave. Can we talk tomorrow? Apparently he came to my office, I was told, later that day, and was very, very mad that I had left, and was, we'll just say, not the happiest to the people about, and like, how dare I leave without talking to him, things like that. Again, whenever you move to another state, far away from your family, and you don't really have friends, and you're the only one there because your significant other is deployed, you only have so many options. So I missed that, but I figured it would probably be happening the next day. So he sent me a message and was like, hey, just so you know, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., we need to talk. And I was like, okay, that works. Now, the one thing that I did not mention was that the only part that I do truly value is that they did let me bring my daughter, who was due to work on Friday. So like if somebody had a snow day, kids could come to work. They would just kind of sit there. And then for my one that was in daycare, the daycare was at church, so there's nothing on Friday, and she would come and just hang out at the office. So, Cadence would go and, you know, just, I would say go and talk to people, but she couldn't talk, but people would just come and see her, and she would just sit there and play with her toys. And it was a whole thing where I still worked all day long. So that was a Friday, and I had her with me. So picture this, I'm in my work outfit. I have my 2-year-old with me, and he comes to me and he's like, okay, 10 o'clock, we need to meet. I'm like, yeah, sounds good. So I'm sitting there with my 2-year-old on my lap, and he essentially tells me that, you know what, I think we just have differing views of where this program is going, and so we're going to have to let you go. So again, just giggly 2-year-old baby laughing on my lap, and I'm being let go. So not surprised, actually, in the least. But then he goes on to say that I don't understand, you know, some of the basics of food service, and has a few different things listed out. However, at the same time, I am offered half a year of severance. So if anybody is really that inept at their job, I don't know anyone who has offered 6 months of severance at an executive level. I am extremely grateful for it. But it just goes to tell you that they knew that they weren't completely innocent in all of this, right? So they have an HR person escort me and my toddler to my office to get it packed up. So packing up all of her toys and the stuff that we brought in for the day, packing up all of my things from the office, which literally any piece of paperwork I had, they looked at every single paper to make sure that I was not stealing anything of theirs that was, you know, proprietary, which to me seemed a little extreme. Maybe that's normal, but they looked at every single thing. And then I left and went home, and I called my mom, and I felt so relieved. I felt terrified, but I felt relieved, because the pressure of knowing that I was not on call 24/7, Saturday, Sunday, any time of day, it was gone. It was gone. Now, the fact that I had severance, obviously that made me feel a little bit better, but I knew that I would probably never work in the industry that I absolutely loved again, just because it's kind of hard to, you know, transition into that once you've left one location. But I truly just felt free for the first time in a long time. So anytime that I had ever transitioned from one job to another, I never took more than a day off. So I know some people who between jobs will take 2 months off or 3 months off. I never did that. I don't know why. To me, I thought that I didn't deserve that, or that I just, again, was supposed to keep working. So to me, if I had taken off, you know, a month to go and travel Europe, that seemed selfish. Again, hindsight's 20/20, because that's ridiculous. Like, if you have somebody wait 2 weeks for you to start, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to make any difference at all. But I went home and I decided that I was going to start my own consulting firm. And again, I had won awards. I had spoken at quite a few national conferences. I had people who were asking me to help. However, due to working for, you know, a potential competitor, I couldn't necessarily help them. So I launched my own company, started doing that for a couple months, had quite a few conferences set up. Things were looking great. I was still working my butt off because, of course, I was used to working so much that as soon as the kids got on the bus, I would just go ahead and start working and networking, and had my website up and my LLC, and I just full speed ahead, right? Well, this was 2020. Hindsight 2020. And it was COVID. So my kids come home from school on March 13th, and they say, yeah, we're taking 2 weeks off from school. And I was like, okay, well, 2 weeks with my kids, you know, I'm actually at home, so this is cool. I can hang out with them and we have lots of one-on-one time, and this is actually great timing. I can't wait for this. Holy crap. We all know what happened, but could the timing have been any worse to launch my own consulting firm? Not to mention that a couple months later is when my divorce then happened, and that meant then that I needed insurance. So, well, fast forward to I needed to get my own insurance because that was not part of my severance. And so I got a job just to be a job. And that was probably the first time that I just kind of had a job to go through the motions. Keep in mind, I worked my butt off, but nothing about the company culture was, I want to get to this certain point. I did not see anybody else in the company and think I would love to have their role. It was basically just a job to have a job. And so that's what I started thinking, you know, work should be, is you can just exist, do your job for the hours you're supposed to, and go home. Because obviously I was thinking, if you have a job that you love, then you might love your job, but it's at the expense of your family. And your entire identity is work. And then for me, it was kids, but I really had no identity in my one role. So I thought, you can have that. Or if you want to be an executive, you essentially give up your dignity, it felt like, because of what had happened in my prior role, because that's what, at that time, I thought it really was. So I thought, at this point, my focus is to actually find myself after going through divorce and going through a toxic work relationship. Again, I was not good at red flags. So I just went through the motions there and thought, this is what it is. Now, fast forward again. I know, do people that are not those that grew up in the 80s, 90s, and don't know what VHS tapes are or cassette tapes are, do they know what fast forward is? Because there isn't really a fast forward. I mean, I guess there's a like skip ahead on different things, but I digress. Sorry, get a little distracted there. So anyway, fast forward, and I'm now in a new role with a new company, and I feel like the work-life balance is actually possible. Not every day, because every day is a little bit different, but it's a great company culture. There are opportunities. And when I tell you, I started and everyone was like, hey, I'm here to help. If you have any questions, let me know, and seemed genuinely nice. My little radar went off and I was like, haha, this cannot be real, because nobody is that nice. And all of these people can't be that nice. I've been here for more than a year now, and they actually are that nice. And they actually mean it. So the amount of, you know, very small questions that even seem like they're insignificant that I can just reach out and ask people, and they will take their time to help. They are nice. They actually care about family. If they ask like, hey, can you come and do this work trip on this day? I can say, no, my kid actually has a baseball championship or whatever. So I can't, unless you really need me, because there are some times that I feel like you still need to. I'm still working on those boundaries. And their response, get this. Okay, no problem. Or if in the middle of the day I need to go and take my kid to the doctor, because let's say they broke something, because that happened quite a few times last year, I can send a message and say, hey, I'm really sorry, I need to take a half day because I need to take my kid to the doctor, this happened. They'll say, no, you don't need to take a half day. Like, just take the time you need. And then later in the day, they'll even reach back out and be like, hey, how is Cameron? And they actually mean it. I know. Maybe some of you are thinking, wow, Courtney, we feel so bad for you that it took you this long to find a good workplace where you have this flexibility. But again, part of it at the beginning was me inflicting it upon myself, where I feel like in my mid-20s to even mid-30s, I would have probably just taken an entire day off and not even told anybody that I was taking my kid to the doctor, where now I realize I can actually be seen as a human because we are all human, and that we can actually be honest with people and direct with people. And if they are good people in a good company, they understand, because we all have things. So needless to say, I am very happy with where I am right now. And I would recruit anybody to come and work here. I even tried to recruit Scott to come and work for me, but alongside me, because that's how much I cared. Which, to say that you want both people in the relationship to work somewhere, you also know that that company is pretty solid, because especially after COVID, it could be a little scary to work for the same one. But yeah, I pretty much found that work-life balance and am happy. So all that to say, I feel like this is my second chance at happiness with work. So, after going through everything that I've gone through and setting boundaries and understanding what work actually should be and that it doesn't need to be your identity, I could not be happier. So I put together a list of my top 10, or just my list of 10 things that I feel like would help somebody, especially if they're just graduating college, to at least keep in mind. It's something where I feel like even in college, all the professors just said, you know, you go out and you work hard. Because what are they going to say? Like, go out and work like kind of hard, but make sure you take time for you. Like, that's not their role. And you can get a career coach, but career coaches want you to be successful. So they kind of have a different mentality. And it's really hard to find what I think is the right guidance. There is a reason that I'm not a therapist. So obviously, take what I say with a grain of salt. But I have my top 10 things, and I'll do, you know, a little PDF type thing that I'll put a link to in my podcast, and I'll probably put it on LinkedIn too. But the top 10 things that I think will help to have as much of a work-life balance as possible, and just things to keep front and center and be cognizant of in your daily working life. So you want to work hard on what matters. So you can work hard 24/7, I feel like, in any position, but if you're working on 100 different, we'll say $10 problems, you probably should just spend your time working on the $1,000 problem. So maybe you need to delegate or hire someone. And sometimes those $10 things don't even need to be done. So it's just really focusing on what needs to be done. I feel like with my current role, I could stay insanely busy all day, and at 5 o'clock, whenever the workday is done, still feel stressed out if I didn't prioritize what really needed to be done. So that has been huge for me. Number two is your day should not be all meetings. Now, depending on your role, I know sometimes your job might be dependent on meetings, you know, like sales calls, things like that. But if day to day, your entire day is just meeting after meeting after meeting, and then it's whenever your meetings are done, you can actually get the work done, that isn't good. Yes, there's a time and a place for meetings. And I do believe in the thought process that if you don't have an agenda, you don't need to have a meeting, or at least a very clear, concise reason to have the meeting. You shouldn't have it. So your whole day should not be meetings. If you look at your calendar for the week and you don't have time to fit in an emergency meeting if you need it, you need to reassess your calendar. Number three, relationships are key. And this is coming from an introvert who relationships are very, very hard. But I feel like every role that I've had, I've taken at least one or two extremely solid relationships. From some roles, I still have 10 people that feel like family. So you need to have at least that one person, that one confidant. Even the role that I had that wasn't the best, we'll call it a trauma bond. Maybe it was a trauma bond. But having that relationship and somebody that you can confide in and truly understands your workplace is key. But then if you're in the right organization, having those relationships to be able to help each other grow and be honest with each other and know how to get certain things done when maybe you don't know how, and you can also help somebody if they don't necessarily know how or know the right people, that is really key. So again, coming from an introvert, yes, relationships are key. Number four, I kind of already said it, but the work-life balance is possible, but not every day. So know that once in a while, there's going to be days that are insanely long. There will be work trips where it'll feel wonky and you won't see your kids. I don't think work-life balance is possible every single day, but there are a lot of roles where it is possible majority of the time. And I absolutely love that. And I want more people to know that, both males and females. It's not just for the working mom, which I feel like a lot of people focus it on that. They say, oh, you can have everything, blah, blah, blah. You can't have everything every day. But this is for males and females. So just keep that in mind. My next one is one of my favorite ones. It's not all about the money. So I will say the time that I was least happy with my role and the least happy with my life as a whole is when I made the most money. So if you are driven by money, which I definitely was, just because to me that at that point made it seem like I had made it. It's not about the money. It's about being fulfilled in your role. It's about the relationships that you build. It's about seeing what you're doing, making a difference one way or another. It's not necessarily that you're helping to build a freshwater well in Africa, which is amazing if you can do that. I know some people that do that type of amazing work. That's not necessarily what my scope of work is. I wouldn't even know where to start. But with what you do, you can still feel like you're making a difference in your organization or in some way, or it might just be with somebody in your organization and helping to mentor them. So it's not all about the money. It's how it actually makes you feel. Similar to that, titles mean nothing. I have met people that are low mid-management category managers that have the exact same responsibilities as executive vice presidents in certain corporations. So when you are looking for roles or when you are interviewing people and looking at resumes and you see titles, I would really, really try to recommend that you don't focus on what the title is, but more what they do and the results that they have done. Because again, speaking from experience, an executive vice president can do the exact same thing as a category manager. It just depends on what company you are in. Okay, number seven is you are replaceable at work and not at home. And I feel like a lot of people post this, but having experienced that, because as soon as I walked out of my one location where I did my career suicide, there was an email out in 2 seconds, and guess how many people checked on me, sent me emails, anything after the fact? One, and he's just a genuinely nice guy. But nobody else. I was there for 3 years and one person total checked on me. So just remember that you are replaceable everywhere but at home. Number eight, a degree does not make a person. So there are some people, you probably know some who, you know, say, I have a JD, I have two masters, I have this and that. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry. Your experience can matter. So there are some people that can have masters and you get the certain experience, you get the certain relationships from getting that masters. And that is amazing. You can get certain techniques. But also, speaking as a person who got a master's degree, I could have learned that by listening to a lot of podcasts and reading a lot of books. Probably not all of it. I don't want to completely negate all master's degrees and things like that. But thinking that just because you have a degree, you're in a certain upper echelon and you deserve something more so, I don't think is okay. So if you truly don't have time or you don't have time to get your master's, learn yourself. There are people I know that have 2-year degrees from community colleges. I know some that don't have any college degrees who started in stores and worked their way up. And they are some of the most innovative and smart ways because sometimes they had to be scrappy just to get to where they are today. And that to me is just as valuable, if not more valuable. So a degree doesn't make a person. Okay, number 9. And listen to this one. Unless you plan on working until the day that you die, your job should not be your identity. Because here's the deal. I know lots of people who work so long and so hard, and then they retire and they don't know who they are anymore. They don't know what makes them happy. They have lost their entire identity. So having that certain balance between your family and your work and what you truly like to do, not just what your family likes to do, what you like to do is key. Because I feel like most of us don't want to work until the day that we're on our deathbed. I would certainly hope not. I know I don't. I want to be somewhere in the sun, golfing, getting mad that I suck at golf, but continuing to do it anyway, having mimosas in the morning and coffee and relaxing and reading and I don't know what else. But you want to make sure that you don't lose your identity as a whole. Because I can tell you, I'm still, I think, finding my full identity after different relationships, both personal and work, and how much I threw myself into those. So the sooner that you can do that, the better it will be. And last but not least, you only live once, but if you're lucky enough, you can live twice. So if you are not happy where you are today, there's a way to change that. There was a quote the other day that I heard, and I wish that I knew who said it, but I was listening to another podcast where they said it and they weren't sure. So I should probably go and Google that. But they said, you will never feel comfortable in a place that you are not meant to be. And so if you are not comfortable where you are at working, if you are not happy where you are at working, then find a way to change that. You don't have to feel like you're stuck. It's not that I'm saying quit today and everything will work out. No, there's still responsibilities, especially if you have a family. But you don't need to stay stuck. And maybe doing that career suicide is what you need to do. And it can be painful and you might second guess yourself. But I can promise you that in the end, especially at the end of your life, you will not regret it. So thank you all for listening. Next time, hopefully Scott will be back and we'll be able to maybe hear what his day was like today in his new role. And I appreciate you listening. Please share. It means the world to me. Like I said before, we don't have any sponsors because, well, it's kind of a random niche, right? But if you can just share, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Remember, you only live twice.